Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. This is your host, John Thomas, and tonight the show is going to be on distinguishing the distinction clearing. In our virtual studio tonight, we already have one caller. I believe that's Clara. Are you there?
It's Catherine.
It's Catherine. I'm sorry, had the wrong number. How are you?
Great.
Wonderful. Just so people know, the International Black Summit is an organization that's committed to the transformation of the universe, particularly as it relates to people of African or Black African descent. We've been having an annual event every year since 1991, and this year the annual event is in Anguilla. We also have events in other cities, other towns, and we have a number of people participating in this conversation worldwide. So with that, if you'd like to find out more about the International Black Summit, please go to our website, www.blacksummit.org, www.MMIT.org, and you can find out about our upcoming event in Anguilla, and we definitely invite you to participate. So, Catherine, I'm glad you're on the line. I'm looking for some other people to call in as we look at distinguishing the distinction clearing, and I imagine there's probably something for you to say, but before you do, just tell us a little bit about who you are, how you came to participate in the International Black Summit.
I'm a grandmother. And my first contact with the summit was when a friend of mine was bringing a planning meeting to the Kansas City area, and I had done some landmark, and I had heard about the summit, and I said, oh, when they come, I would be delighted to help. He said, well, come on down, and you can help. Well, I did a lot of making things very comfortable for people, and then I understood they were talking about going to the summit, and I got caught up in registering it. Of course, it was in Johannesburg, South Africa, and I wasn't quite sure how to handle that. But I told some people. I told my sister. She said, well, can I go? I said, oh, yes. And when you put your plane ticket on your credit card, put mine on, too, and I'll take care of the hotel. And that's how I got to come to the summit the first time in Johannesburg, South Africa. When
wow.
they did the declaration, I was just blown away because of that last line where they said transformation of the universe, and I was enrolled.
Wow. What year was that?
That was 1997.
1997.
Mm-hmm.
And so you was enrolled and folded into the part in the declaration where it states we're committed to the transformation of the universe?
Oh, that got me, yes.
That got you?
That got me.
And what was it about that had you?
I was so into transformation of myself and my community, but I had never thought of anybody who could get their mind wrapped around transforming the universe. I hadn't even thought about taking this transformation to higher levels. Oh, if that's what people are up to, I'm with them. I'm with them. That got me enrolled, I guess that was about 12 years ago, 11 years ago.
Wow. Wow. So you were working on transforming yourself, your life, maybe, you know, some
mm-hmm.
people in your community.
Oh, yeah, especially people very close to me.
Right.
Want to transfer them before I transform myself.
Right, of course. if they would just change,
if they would
life would be
good.
Good. Oh, that's so wonderful.
They
I mean,
do
I could.
Right, then I could do things right.
Exactly. If they would just, well, I don't know. You may not be taking it this way, but I'm like, if they could just see it the way I see it, life would be real simple. And so you heard of this group of people that were up to transforming the universe, and that hooked you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, they were up to some big things, according to what I saw, and I have seen nothing else since.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, because the original conversation started in 1991, actually it was a little prior to 1991,
mm-hmm.
where they actually created that declaration. And for people listening, if you want to read that declaration, just go to our website, blacksummit.org, and you can read the entire declaration on the purpose of the International Black Summit and so on and so forth, and particularly read the part that hooked Catherine. So tonight we're talking about clearing. So what was it about that particular distinction to have you call in?
The clearing?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get a little clearer distinction of clearing.
A little clearer distinction of clearing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, before I do my rendition of it, and I'm expecting some other people to call in, let's just talk about what that means to you right now.
Well, when I say the International Black Summit, and I heard about it the first time, I asked someone to get me clear so I knew that it wasn't what it was not and what it was. It's not that, okay, but it is this. Some people, when they hear International Black Summit, get turned off, not by international and not by summit, but because it's black and they think it's a pity party. And I wanted to get clear about what the International Black Summit was and what it was up to. And I think the declaration gave me a wonderful entree into what the summit was. And
So as you were looking,
it helped me to clear.
It helped you to clear.
And to get clear.
What did you distinguish that it wasn't?
A pity party.
It wasn't a pity party.
Where black people are going to go and, you know, regurgitate over and over what's wrong with, as we said earlier, those people out there and how they need to change. It's not that the change needs to come from within. I began to realize that there was the distinction. International Black Summit was a group of people, as we say in the purpose, who come together each year for the purpose of transforming their own lives, those people around them, and reaching for a higher purpose rather than coming together to bitch and moan.
Oh, wow. That's pretty clear. You know, as a matter of fact, the purpose of the International Black Summit is to bring into being, well, actually, I'm going to read it from the website if I can scroll down here. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So you discovered it wasn't a pity party.
Nope, not a pink party. Didn't want to be part of a pity party.
And what else was it that you discovered that it wasn't?
It wasn't a place where you go to learn from someone else. It was a place where introspection goes on within oneself and learn what you discover what you already know to be so. simply peeling that onion layer by layer and
right.
getting to what sells for you, what you weren't aware of before.
Right. And that's what it was for you. I mean, I want to say it that way because someone else may participate and they may find a different experience. But for you, it wasn't a place where you were going to learn from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place where it was an opportunity for some introspection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And looking at your own life and determining what's so for you.
I wasn't going, as I do often, to a conference where the speakers are going to be like graduation speakers and they're well known and they're going to drill a hole in my head and impart some knowledge into it. That's not what the International Black Summit is. It was a place where I could go within and discover some things that we could see that I wanted to come forth.
Wow.
And
so,
it's a place,
go ahead.
It's an opportunity for that. It was a place where I could expand and get some help doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do it at home, I wouldn't have to go to the International Black Summit. But there were people there not telling me, but enabling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got clear.
And you got clear.
On what the International Black Summit is and what it had to offer for me.
Right. I guess we could say it was a clearing for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been saying opportunity, but it really was like a clearing for you to do work that you needed to do for your own life,
yes.
for your own self.
Mm-hmm. It's
and that's one of
an
go
opportunity
ahead.
For me to clear. It's both a noun and a verb.
Mm-hmm. So say a little more about that.
Well,
it's both a noun and a verb.
And a clearing is a noun, and to clear is a verb. And a clear, when I do the clearing, I'm using it as a verb, or I could be using it as a noun. It helps me to get more clear, even discussing it now with you.
Okay, good. Because that was your intention, to get clearer about clearing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I love about this conversation is not hypothetical. It's not we're going to learn something and then apply it. It's like real time. It's a real time conversation. It's a real time engagement. So this distinction clearing is not, at least on this call, is not about let's analyze and distinguish clearing so that people can take it and go use it in their life. It's moreover, let's look at and begin to distinguish clearing for ourselves. To clear, clearing, and a clearing. You know, so there's the noun, and there's the verb, and there's the process. You know, I'm looking at the website, and it says the International Black Summit is a conversation that is being given by life to the world through people of Black African descent, a conversation that finds its expression in the declaration of the International Black Summit. It's also an event that takes place during the first weekend in August every year, attended by people of Black African descent who are committed to the unfoldment of the declaration in their lives. And when I look at what's available through the summit, you know, it says it's a gathering of people of Black African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, views, who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration. It's also an exploration of questions and issues, which empowers participants to realize their vision for the black community in the world. And then the next one says, it's a place to clear yourself so as to be able to hear what life is telling you. Acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as people and the contribution we are to the world. It's a global shift in the conversation about who people of black African descent are in the world. So it sounds like this is the perfect conversation to be in, at least for the night. So let's talk a little more about, you said there's clearing the noun and clearing or to clear the verb.
Okay.
Well. So how does that live for you as you look? I know, you know, we're engaged in this process so that you can begin to get another cut at it for yourself. So as we begin to look, what are you beginning to see?
When I use this word, clear, I'm also saying I just got clear on the fact that John McCain and Obama are really beginning to compete with each other. I just got clear on the fact that this is what's happening now as opposed to that campaign that was going on in the Democratic Party before. I'm clear now on what's happening. That's a little muffled before for me, and now I'm clear.
Now you're clear.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it about that, about
before
that had you get clear?
Well, before, it looked like Obama was campaigning for the nomination, and at the same time, I didn't realize he was past that. It looked, you know, there were two things going on at one time, and I was clear that one of them is over. He's apparently the nominee, and he's campaigning with John McCain now. And so I'm clear that that other thing's not going on, the thing that's been going on now for a year, year and a half, where he was going to become the nominee. He now is the nominee, and I'm clear that there's not two things going on at once. There's just one thing going on now.
Okay. And what happened? I mean, you've been in this conversation for a while, so so what happened to have you be clear about that?
It's that I was seeing him, like, all over the place. And then I guess what really happened was I began to see that he was being taken he was being taken out of that other conversation of whether he was going to be the nominee. He is. And that became clear for me. Before, I saw him all over the place trying to campaign against John McCain, at the same time still not finished campaigning against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I'm clear.
Now, see, what's really cool about what you're saying is he was doing what he was doing. Right, because that's how life is. Life is just happening. It's occurring moment by moment. And then there's an experience of life that we all have. And something happened over there with you that shifted your view of what he was engaged in. Right? Now, was it a conversation with someone, or are you just looking at TV and it hit you, or you were asleep and you woke up and you saw it, or, you know, what was it that had you, what was the process that had you like, oh, he's now campaigning against McCain. He's finished with that other thing.
I think it occurred in my thinking, but in the background someplace was McCain, really. And I'm saying he's taking this man on. He's taking him seriously. But it occurred over here. It didn't occur with John McCain. It occurred with Catherine. I'm thinking about this and saying, no, this is a serious campaign with John McCain. That other stuff is finished.
Right.
And I think the television was on in the background, but the thinking was going on here. And it hit me, like, you know, like a light bulb. And I got clear. We're in a race for a fall. We're no longer all over the page.
Right. So now, was he all over the page, or were you all over the page?
My thinking was all over the page.
Your thinking was all over
My
the page.
My perception of where he was all over the page.
Wow.
He was probably clear.
He was probably clear from the beginning.
He was clear
from the beginning that he was going to be the next president.
He was clear, and John McCain was probably clear, and Hillary Clinton was probably clear. It was me who wasn't clear. I saw him in
wow.
the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, as you go through the process, from what I understand, and, you know, and I'm going to say this not like it's the way, from what I understand, the process of clearing, like the verb, is in which you say what there is for you to say in order, you know, I'm saying in order, but, like, you're saying what there is to say while simultaneously listening for what life is saying to you. So you got a commitment to be clear. And I imagine what you're listening for to be clear is your vision. And as you speak, as you, what we call clear, that's the intention that I need to say what I got to say. I need to get it out of my system. I need to hear myself. You know, so when someone's clearing, it's not the other people that's clearing that person. It's the other people that's creating a space, creating a clearing, like the now, for that person to clear, to hear themselves. And I know people are listening probably saying, well, they're saying a lot of using the same word over and over again, clear, too clear, clearing, create a clearing. But it really is that kind of process. So as you, and I love this example that you're using, you know, we'll have one that's a little more personal, but this is really great because we're talking about the election, you know, of the next president of the United States. And you found yourself looking at this as though Barack Obama was all over the place, and you got start to get some sense that, no, it's not him that's all over the place. It's me that's all over the place. At which point, when you got clear about it was you, you did what?
I had an aha moment.
You had an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that aha moment reveal to you?
That I had gotten clear on where Obama is.
And then what did you get clear about for you, for Catherine?
I should probably see, okay, John. I should probably see where I am all over the place. When I'm really there, you know, where I am all over the place, like trying to do 15 different projects when I probably would do better to bring it down and realize that, you know, all of these are not my priority.
Mm-hmm.
Do the one you love, and the money will follow.
And the money will follow.
And you won't feel so stressed, and you won't feel so...
Who won't?
And I won't feel so stressed. I've got several balls of wax in the air right now, and I need to get down to really one.
Okay.
I'm working on at least three top ones and a bunch of others underneath that. And I need to concentrate on one, and that one done well.
Okay. And you believe that concentrating on one will do what?
Will make me do a better job at that one and make me feel less stressed and make me feel more rewarded.
Okay. Now, how long have you known that?
I've had that in the back of my mind probably always. But you mean how long have I had it in the front of my mind? I'm getting clear on that right now.
Okay, good.
As we speak.
Okay, great.
I'm even getting clear as to which one of these to put my energies into and let the others just be.
Okay, so just for the people who might be listening to this conversation, how are you getting clearer about that?
I'm asking myself which one of these top three is number one, and I probably had been bouncing around between all three of these top three projects. I need to bring number one into focus and focus on
that. I also imagine that in the top three, there's some other sub-projects underneath those, right?
Oh, yes. Yes,
okay.
There are.
Mm-hmm. So it may not be that you have to pick number one. It may be, moreover, that you want to get clear about which one out of the top three. You know, like, what are the three areas?
Teaching online. Is that what you're asking? Teaching online and life coaching. And the third one is, running the visitor center.
Is the what?
Running the visitor center, managing the visitor center.
Managing the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching online,
mm-hmm.
life coaching, and managing, running the visitor center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are the three areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of those have, you know, some other subcomponents.
Oh, yes.
Right? And I imagine you've been trying to do all of them.
Of course.
Of course. All at the same time.
Of course.
Okay, so let's just take life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And life coaching,
mm-hmm.
what are the other things that you see within that?
It's something that I really enjoy doing. And I have a problem with the promoting it, not the coaching, but the promoting it to get more coachees. And that's the part of it that I don't like. Once I get the coachee, I'm fine, but I don't like
mm-hmm.
the recruiting part.
Mm-hmm. And so that's part of your challenge.
Yes.
Actually having people to coach.
No. Recruiting people to coach. I don't like that part. But once I get them, the life coaching I love.
Okay. Now, just so I'm clear, what's different in what I said and what you said?
I thought you said life coaching was a challenge. And I said...
No.
Okay.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I said, no, recruiting the coachees.
Right.
It was the challenge.
Okay, good. And what I said was actually having people to coach.
Okay. I misinterpreted what you said.
Wow. Yeah, because, see, you got something around recruiting. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I purposely did not say recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I said actually having people to coach.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Catherine, you're not the only person in the world with that particular challenge.
I didn't think so.
I know a lot of people who are excellent coaches, phenomenal coaches, that are challenged by what it takes to have the people, that what it takes to, I'm going to use this word now, recruit, sell, whatever it is you got to do to have people to coach.
Oh, yes.
It is one of the most, in my world, most fascinating aspects of the coaching business that I find. I know a lot of people that are excellent coaches. As a matter of fact, some of them are my clients. Excellent, excellent, excellent coaches. And where they get stuck is what it takes to have people request for them to coach them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, that's one of your greatest strengths, which is having people break through whatever it is they need to break through,
mm-hmm.
whatever the barriers are for them. And the barrier for coaches, and I'm just going to sum it up as marketing, that's one of the barriers for coaches that coaches got to break through. You know, it's kind of like, how can you talk with someone about having a breakthrough in relationships or a breakthrough in productivity or a breakthrough in leadership when you are having a challenge breaking through presenting yourself? And I mean just you like you, but I mean that's part of the phenomenon. So you're not alone. You're definitely not alone.
Thank you.
So as you look at clearing, what are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that I need the breakthrough to get clear on how to get these coaches, a group, oh, I should say, the spokesman for the group asked me to come and facilitate their meeting, and I simply wanted to take these five women individually to coach them,
mm-hmm.
rather than having a pity party.
Right.
And what I probably need to do is go to the pity party and just take that from where it is and put it where I want it to be, into not necessarily five coaches, but as many of those women who want to be coached.
Right. All right, well, I'm going to suggest some things as a part of this process. I know we're distinguishing clearing. Excuse me, but I'm going to suggest something. And one of the things I'm going to suggest is that you shift from calling your prospective clients coaches to clients.
All right.
Or prospective clients.
Okay.
I'll
take the coaching.
Yeah, I actually think that whole phenomenon of coaching is like a minimizing kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, that's just my own personal opinion. You know, they can be participants, they can be clients, they could be proteges. You know, but for some odd reason for me, coaching kind of minimizes who they are.
I can see that.
You know? And a person who hires a coach is already phenomenal. They're already great at some aspect of their life. And they're smart enough to know that I need some further assistance if I'm going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. See, people who want to coach are people who are already up to something and may not know how to get there. You with me?
I'm listening to you. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, so they may not know how to get there, and that's why they would hire a coach. You know, like Michael Jordan is an excellent basketball player. However, he can't see himself when he's on the court. And that's why you need Phil Jackson to coach Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan is in the game and Phil Jackson is watching the game. He's the observer, and the observer can be objective about the game, distinct from Michael Jordan that's actually in the game. It's kind of hard to observe yourself doing what you're doing. And if you're like most people, you're analyzing what you're doing and you're coming up with pretty much, this is not the right thing. I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have went this way. I should have went that way. Why did I take that shot? I should have taken that shot. Why? You know what I'm saying?
I should have told her, yes, I would come and facilitate the meeting and just listen.
All right. And distinct from it being a pity party.
I got clear just now.
Yeah, distinct from it being a pity party, it's moreover an opportunity to find out what people need coaching in. And as a coach, you want to coach people who are up to something. Distinct from people who want to just be in, I guess, what you call a pity party. So if they're in a pity party, they're not up to anything. You don't want to go there. You want to be there. But at any time you can find people who are willing to communicate what they're up to and their challenges in a group, those are people who are up to something, in my mind.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. And it looks like it's going to be you and me as we continue to distinguish clearing, because no one else has called in yet.
I thought I heard someone else. No?
Well, if you did, you're doing good.
No, I thought I heard someone come on the line. No?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
Nope, there's nobody else on the line. So it's you and me distinguishing clearing in real time. And, you know, what's happening is I'm creating a clearing for you to clear. So I'm in the process of doing clearing the noun, like creating a space, creating an environment, while you are engaged in clearing the verb, which is like the process of saying what you need to say such that you have a commitment to being clear and you're saying what you need to say in order to hear yourself. So this, it's you and me.
No, this is good. I'm hearing myself, and I'm hearing that I was just so anxious to get going that I told her, no, they could just meet without me.
Right. And so we're just talking about one of the three things that you have on your plate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that you got those three things on your plate for a reason. And I don't actually believe that you have to pick one of the three. However, I do believe that there's some aspect of each one that you got to choose.
Like moving it further.
Right.
Like moving each one of them further.
Each one of them further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something is a major, 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 major project, then maybe you got to concentrate on that for a specific time period. You know, and you got those three things on your plate for a reason. I know people who got like 9 things on their plate.
Oh, I have
more.
I have more than these three, but I think that the others need to take the back burner.
Say that again.
I have more than these three on my plate, but I think
right.
The other things, other than these three, need to take the back burner.
Okay. And so out of the other things, do they relate to these three things at all?
Not really.
Not really.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So then my suggestion would be to look at working on these three things for a season,
mm-hmm.
for a particular time period,
mm-hmm.
you know, like consciously.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to consciously work on, what's the first thing?
Oh, teaching online.
Teaching online. What's the second thing?
Life coaching.
Life coaching. What's the third thing?
And that one probably could go to the back burner. That's managing the visitor center.
Managing the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three things. So maybe for the next 90 to 120 days, you can concentrate on moving those to the level you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 90 to 120 days, you'll look again. Because
mm-hmm.
I imagine that you probably would want to clear on each of those things. We're just talking about one tonight, right
mm-hmm.
now.
Right.
You know, I imagine that you probably want to have another conversation about teaching online.
Oh, yes.
So that you can clear about that. And then another conversation or another process of managing the visitor center
mm-hmm.
so that you can clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a little bit of time on our hands. So why don't we look at a little bit more at clearing on the life coaching? Just a few more minutes, and then maybe we can touch on the other ones.
Okay.
So what are you seeing now about life coaching?
I should probably take another look at calling my friend back and going to their meeting with these women who are experiencing divine discontent and listen to where each of them are, which of course all five of them are not going to be in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
With and then seeing if any of them are open to life coaching rather than just saying, I want a life coach with each one of them. That's what they need separately rather than getting together in this group meeting.
And what is a life coach?
Well,
to you.
Oh, the people that I've done before, we did the coaching, and I listened to what was going on in their lives, where it is they want to go, and we had several things we were dealing with. We had to go back and talk about things even back in childhood, and we got into some deep spirituality, and we made some fabulous progress in less than within a few months.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to sum up what people got from working with you as a life coach, what would you say that was?
Well, the one who called me up recently and just thanked me said she got her life back.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? She was dealing with retiring from, you know, at an early age from her job and what to do, because all she had done for 30 years is the school system, and it was like, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Where she is today is she's working part-time, not full-time, part-time, doing what she absolutely loves. She doesn't feel stressed like she did it toward the end of those 30 years. She doesn't feel pressured because she's not working full-time. But we had to get through some other things like obstacles that she was feeling when she was first thinking about retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked through that. She was wonderful in that she read the things I suggested, and she was great to work with. She took the coaching.
Okay. So you help people get clarity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You help people focus. You help people live the life that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you help people be effective.
Yes. I have one right now that I'm working with, and she's good until we hit that one area, you know, and then she's ready to shut down. So we're
mm-hmm.
getting through that. We're getting through that right now.
So I would suggest that one of the things you want to get clear about
mm-hmm.
is what you provide people. I believe when you got clear about that, then this whole notion of what you call recruiting people
mm-hmm.
will would be really easy. It's not so much about recruiting as much as it is about attracting the people who are looking for what you have to offer.
Well said, John. Well said.
Yeah, see, oftentimes as coaches, and I'm speaking because I've been a coach, right? And I still do some coaching. And oftentimes we get caught in the trap of selling, coaching. And in a service business, or this particular service business, you really do not have to sell it. What you want to do is find people who are a match for what you have to offer. And if you let people know that you provide clarity, focus, effectiveness, and productivity, the people who are looking for that are the people who could potentially hire you as a coach. The people who aren't looking for that won't.
Because it's not a match.
It's not a match.
I'm clear.
There's almost 7 billion people on the planet. You know, how many do you want to coach?
5.
So you actually got some room to take your time and look for the people who are looking for you.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I got clear.
And you got to break through what there is for you to break through, because something else will become available to you when you do so.
Mm-hmm.
Something else will become available to you in who you get to be with your clients, because you had a personal breakthrough in an area where you were challenged.
Mm-hmm.
See, the area really doesn't matter. It's the fact that you had the breakthrough that's more important.
Right.
So when they're met with an area of their life that they aren't, you know, they can't see through, you can share with them where you were in a particular aspect of your life.
Okay.
And
I've had a whole lot of life.
And you've had a whole lot of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you keep looking for where you're having the challenge and breaking through that, because that gives you access to new ground for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that access for new ground gives you room and space to be all kinds of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we kind of begin to wrap up this distinction clearing, the whole process of clearing is to begin to hear yourself in a way that you can see for yourself where the work's got to be done to fulfill on your vision.
Mm.
Now, that's not the only interpretation of it. That's just the one I'm sharing with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine. You know, clearing without a vision, clearing without a commitment to something is just talking. It is what you call a pity party. But a pity party where people are sharing inside the space of clearing, committed to something, committed to fulfilling on a vision, achieving a goal, is a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking this process to the meeting would have made for a different experience for them.
It still can. The meeting has not happened yet.
Okay, good.
That's why this is so great.
I'm excited that we're having this call, you know.
You have no idea how timely this is.
Right. Part of me wish there was a whole lot of other people on the call, and the other part of me is like, no, this was the perfect call.
I know.
You know, whoever showed up is the right people. As we say, open space.
I have no idea this was what we were going to talk about on this call.
Well, we were talking about clearing.
I am clear that I'm calling up this person and going to that meeting on Wednesday night.
Well, good, good.
And she asked me to facilitate it, and I will facilitate it too.
And you will facilitate it.
And I'm going to tell you the next time I talk to you how many clients I got.
All right, cool. And, you know, what's interesting here is, for me, this is one of those distinctions that don't have a lot of charge around it. You know, like people like, oh, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I understand that. And it's very, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. I think this distinction, clearing, the distinction completion, and the distinction noticing in my world are like the three most powerful distinctions to begin to get some mastery in. And then the other distinctions, like distinguishing distinctions and trigger and upset and things like that, people are attracted to. But I think if you get these three, you get a lot more facility in the other ones.
Noticing, clearing, and what was the third?
Completion.
Completion, oh yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, one for me that's always on the top is vision. Without vision, a lot of times all we're having is a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe that distinctions are only as powerful as they move you forward in the fulfillment of your vision. When they stop doing that, they're no longer distinctions.
Well, this tool, clearing, has moved me to that meeting on Wednesday. Clear on that.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. I am happy for you. And so just so the people that are listening, so what we've engaged in tonight is a two parts. One part is creating an environment such that people can clear. So we're never really clearing anybody. They're clearing themselves. And then the other part we engaged in is Catherine was in the process of actually clearing herself. And out of clearing herself, hearing herself, she was able to look to see what's next for her, what will move her forward, so on and so forth. So I wanted to, like, just draw under that as we continue to distinguish what we're distinguishing. So what else you see? I think we got about 3 more minutes.
I see that when I was talking about Obama, I was talking about Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Which was really the distinction no out there, right?
Really? And, you know, It was because you said, where do you see that in your own life? And boom, there I was, right there. And
mm-hmm.
I brought it in. It was, you know,
I brought it in. I wanted to be clear on something. Didn't even know that I wanted to be clear on something. But I got
Wow. Wonderful. Well, that completes our time. Actually, we went a little bit over time. So those of you who are still listening, remember that the next summit is in Anguilla. The annual summit event is in Anguilla. We actually have a meeting in New Jersey the second week in June. So go to the website, find out more information about that. And Catherine, just thank you so much for doing the work that you did for yourself. Look at distinguishing clearing, and you're very, very welcome. Anything else you want to say in closing?
I'm clear.
All right, so now that was just one of the three areas. So who are you going to work with for the other two?
Who am I going to work with?
Yes.
Ruth with the teaching online.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what about managing the visitor center?
I got to figure out who to work with on that.
Right. Well, you know, any of the facilitators with the International Black Summit will probably be helpful in terms of having you get clear, supporting you in clearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will do that.
All right, my dearest. Well, thank you so much for being on this call, and I'll see you guys in a month for our next distinction.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Bye.